Welcome.
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. Tonight's Big Shot of the Night can only go really to one guy. Well, maybe two. Actually, three. But you know where I'm going with this. The young man, number 95, batting ninth, playing third base for your New York Yankees. He won the game with one swing of the bat. Oswaldo, where is Waldo Cabrera? Boom. The guy is a spark plug. He plays with a flair. TW, the will to win. He affects winning. He's not a losing player. He's a winning player. And I can deal with a couple errors. Let him keep playing third base. He'll be better the more that he plays the position. I can deal with a couple strikeouts, groundouts, popouts, him kind of cooling off a little bit. But even though he cooled off a bit, he still has one of the higher batting averages on the team and OPS. And this guy tonight, again, hits his fourth home run that affects winning. He wins the game. There's got to be a stat out there. I got to search his name and go ahead runs. It seems like he's always hitting the ball and hitting these home runs to take the lead for the New York Yankees. And we're lucky to have him. He's a young guy. Only age 25. And like I said, a lot of Yankee fans looked at him as, what position does he play? What side of the plate does he hit? He can hit. Whatever. Oswaldo Cabrera. Oswaldo Cabrera has, in this early first month of the season, been pretty solid and done more to impact winning than some other guys. He's got four homers, 18 RBI. How many homers does Gleyber Torres have? Oh, still zero. RBI? Six. Gleyber Torres? Yeah. I mean, do I have to go through the list? I'm not going to knock Volpe. But Volpe's got the same batting average as him. They're both hitting 262. Now he's got more homers than Volpe. He's got five more RBI. OPS just a couple points higher. And Volpe's got 20 more at-bats than him. Who else? Judge? Judge got 18 RBI, tied with Oswaldo Cabrera. I don't need to keep going. Let's talk Mets for a second because all the Yankee calls are rolling in. Charlie's in Queens. I think Charlie was at the game. What's up, man?
Hey, Keith, I was at the game tonight. What's going on?
You know, talking the talk. Tell us something. I know they ate all the hot dogs two nights ago. They probably chilled on that tonight.
That was crazy. They said the lines were out the door, bro.
I didn't realize. When I was on with Paul last night, I thought he said that 4,000 were sold. 44,000 plus hot dogs?
Yeah, bro, that was insane. But I just want to tell you, Keith, I am pissed off right now, all right? Everyone's saying, oh, this and the Mets and the home plate and they bought the play, whatever. We left six men on base. This guy, Imanaga, struck out. He was on fire. He could have finished the game. He had 80 pitches going into the eighth inning. I don't know why they took him out. And now all these guys complaining about this stupid play at the plate. Who cares about this stupid play at the plate? You would have seen, if they would have scored some runs, we don't have to worry about this one play at the plate. It was 1-0 the whole game. This crowd was out of it, bro. They had one thing to say. That's it. That one inning, all of a sudden, now everyone goes nuts, and now we're going crazy because they get some runs, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's just too little too late. They tried to get it going bottom of the ninth, and that's what happens. Too little too late. The game falls into the hands of the discretion of the home plate ump, calling Pete Alonso out and not safe. A bunch of strikeouts tonight.
This play, the city field was empty, bro. It's a little embarrassing. Today was
it?
Victor on deck tonight.
This 22,485 in attendance.
Bro, you look up at the top section, it's empty. I could have just took the whole section for myself.
Yeah, no, I won't compare it to Yankee Stadium. There's 30,000 people in Yankee Stadium. It don't matter when. I'll say this. It was just a rough day at the plate because Lindor has one at bat, then he gets sick. You take him out. You got to put Joey Wendell in. I'm sorry, Mets fans. I laugh because I hate Joey Wendell as a Yankee fan from the Rays.
Yeah, it was actually funny. Right in the middle of the game, they just announced Joey Wendell. I was like, oh,
yeah, Joey Wendell in that shortstop. I'm like, he's not a fan favorite right now.
He only figured it out like towards the eighth inning, we threw it out. Lindor's not here.
Brandon Nimmo had a rest day. I feel like the Mets are doing the scheduled rest like the Yankees. I guess Mendoza brought over the scheduled rest. The Yankees can't schedule rest anybody because they don't have anybody on the bench. The team is the team. But the Mets kind of have a little bit of a problem having too many outfielders and guys that are hitting where they can rest guys. They can give guys a night off. But you kind of need these guys. Like, you needed Nimmo. You needed DJ Stewart, and they come in late.
And that lineup, when I saw that starting lineup, I was really unimpressed. I was like, wow, these guys. And then they brought him in at the end. And now I'll tell you one thing, Keith. I respect that throw from left field. That was
hell of a throw.
Solid throw.
Hell of a throw after, who was it, Pete Armstrong, that guy. He jumped up to try to make that catch, and it did not go well for him.
Unbelievable.
I'll say this. You can't have, they have five guys strike out twice. You had Tyrone Taylor, 2 Ks at the top of the lineup. Right behind him, you had Marte striking out twice. Then Alonso and J.D. Martinez in the middle of the lineup, 2 strikeouts, and they all had opportunities. You end up leaving 6 guys on base, 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. That's the game right there, and that's why I was saying that, hey, this Shota Imanaga guy, how come we weren't clamoring for him like everyone was clamoring for Yamamoto? Because he's 5 years older than Yamamoto. This guy's good. And he doesn't seem to need as much time to adjust as Kodai Senga did.
He was shut down. He's
good. This guy's been lights out. And he's pitching in the cold of Chicago, the wind of Chicago. Come over here, bring it to Queens. I'm kind of jealous. I'm like, the Yankees should have took a flyer on him. They were willing to give Yamamoto $300 million. This guy was half the cost.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Keith. I was surprised they didn't keep him in the whole game. He could have pitched a complete game over there. He was 80 pitches going into the eighth. I don't know why they took him out.
Yeah, because it's a long game. It's a long season. Thanks for the call, Charlie. 877-337-6666. Did I say he was half the cost? Shota Imanaga signed a 4-year, $53 million contract to be the ace of the Cubs. A $1 million signing bonus. What a steal. What were they saying about him? He was too old? He wasn't as good? Man, this is a left hand. I don't know. I feel like that's a huge miss. But, you know, the Cubs always have some kind of intel with the Japanese market. Who's that? They signed a right fielder a couple years ago that came over. That was pretty good. Yeah, Seiya Suzuki. They always have some intel over there. So somebody was telling them, hey, we don't need to even bid for Yamamoto. Go get this Shota Imanaga guy. He's going to be the best pitcher we have. Yeah, to hell with Marcus Stroman. This guy's better. 877-337-6666. Jack is in Brooklyn. Jack, you're on the fan. What's up, man?
All right, how you doing, man?
Good, good.
First time caller, big time listener. I love yourself.
Hey, appreciate you.
No problem. I think it's time the Yankees cut ties with Stan. What do you think?
Impossible! We got him for the next 3 years. You can't.
What's that?
He's got a no trade clause. Who would want him if we could trade him?
No. Cut ties, I said.
Oh, you mean just eat the money? Just cut him and eat the money? They're not going to do that either. Like, they're paying Aaron Hicks right now. They're paying Aaron Hicks $9.5 million. He just got DFA'd by the Angels. They're paying $6 million to Josh Donaldson right now. Josh Donaldson is playing golf every day.
All right.
You know?
I hear you.
No, but I get you. Stanton started off hot, but they cool him off. I was just talking about the scheduled rest. Stanton is the only guy the Yankees schedule rest, and they have to do that because they give Judge half day of DH. But Stanton, man, he's just not a baseball player, and he literally said he was working this offseason to be more of a baseball player. The guy can't slide. He can't run the bases. And, man, he cannot lay off that outside pitch, that off-speed pitch, a slider outside. It's just like, dude, we've been seeing this for too long. I'm with you. Like, the DH spot is now a universal DH spot in baseball. Man, some teams know how to use it. Some teams don't. The Yankees took this guy when they already had a 6'5 plus right fielder hitting for power, right-handed bat,
And they said, no, 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 we're going to make you our DH. You don't have to play right field. Judge is going to play right field. And, like, I just, I don't know. I feel like there's more things you can do. Thanks for the call, Jack. I feel like you can make the DH a revolving door where you move guys around, you play the matchups. They already use it as, like, once a series. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow... Actually, I would be surprised. No, because Verdugo's coming back. I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow... I mean, Trent Grisham, just... I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow you see Stanton out of the lineup, you see Judge at DH, Verdugo back in left field, Trent Grisham in center, and obviously Juan Soto's playing every single day and right. 877-337-6666. My guy, Lou in Astoria, what you thinking about those Yankees or the Mets?
That call with the Mets, I watched it. I think that, like the last caller said, you know, you can't just let one play destroy a win or a loss. But you know what? If it, again, this guy is slow, and if he would have slid in instead of going head first, he would have been safe. He just kept his arm up a little bit. And if it was caller now, the call would have stand. But it was, you know, I mean, if it was call safe, it would have stand. But I tell you, it's rough to do that, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, they should just trade Pete Alonso. They should just go ahead and trade him.
Yeah, he's slow. I mean, you know, you got to tie the game. You can't continue the game because, you know what I'm saying, you got to get somebody there that can run. That's it. That was the problem there. But anyway, yeah. With the Yankees, I got two problems with my two Latinos, Luis Gill, and I'm glad that you came on and came strong and spoke about my man Osvaldo, which I've been defending all year long. A guy, when it comes to running on scoring position, he's been very, very good. And without him, even though our man Soto is the idol and everybody thinks we're winning because of him, if it wasn't because of Oswaldo Cabrera, we'd be a 500 team, whether you like it or not. You can just go back to the...
No, I know. I watched series. All the games. I said it. You can go back to the early on games. He's the guy hitting the go-ahead, giving us the go-ahead runs, hitting the homers or singles to score the runs to take the lead. He's done it.
Exactly.
He's done it a bunch of times.
When he was in a slump, he wasn't striking out. He was making contact.
Yeah, I was at the games in
not like the Gleyber Torres.
Oakland A series.
Not like the captain, which is a loss. Okay? I mean, I got problems with McGill. You remember when I told you a long time ago that I said Gill is being treated terribly because remember when he first came in? The minor,
oh, yeah, they jerked him around.
Three
I know.
Terrific starts. You remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I do remember.
Three terrific starts, and they keep setting the men down. You know what?
I thought he was about to be the next Davey Garcia.
I got to do something better, and he ended up getting Tommy John. That's the reason why he got Tommy John's, because the kid could not understand why I'm pitching well, and they keep sending him down, okay? Mm-hmm. And you know what? When DJ gets back, if they send Osvaldo to the minors or bench him, I'm done. I'm telling you, as much as I know my Yankees, I'm sick and tired of them doing things like this. Right now...
No, Oswaldo goes nowhere. You send Taylor Trammell away. You send Jamai Jones away. Oswaldo's not getting sent down.
No, I'm not. But you, listen, Chris, if DJ was in the starting and not hurt, who's Pablo Cabrera... would not be where he's at. You know it.
He was 100% because DJ's $15 million a year would put him in the lineup. If DJ was healthy, Oswaldo wouldn't have had the opportunity he's had.
Exactly. Thank you so much. And you know, in the Chris, the host that follow you, I chew him out on Twitter because I told him, you don't even mention Osvaldo Cabrera and Luis Gill. And by the way, I said, Luis for the story, no, it's Luis Gill. And you know what? He doesn't even take my call because I don't go for it. I like you because you're sincere. You're very honest. Even if you make a mistake, you admit it. This guy, no. Hey, oh, what is he telling? I don't know. I don't want to go into a race.
Thanks for the call, Lou. Sorry, C-Mac. You just caught a stray for no reason. Sorry. The Midnight Rider caught a stray. I didn't know where he's going with that. It's okay if you don't mention Luis Gil or Oswaldo Cabrera. How could you not tonight? I guarantee you, when C-Mac gets on tonight at 2 a.m., he's going to have something to say. He might not lead with Luis Gil. It's G-I-L, but it's pronounced H-E-E-L. That's why I've been calling him King of the Heel. I'm sure C-Mac will have something to say about the impact Oswaldo Cabrera has made. What a pleasant surprise it's been. it hasn't been a pleasant surprise that Stanton hasn't been consistent enough. It hasn't been a pleasant surprise that they moved Volpe to leadoff hitter and he's gone cold. He hasn't been as effective as he was to start the season. That was a pleasant surprise to see. Man, I was getting on the fan like, oh, Volpe grew up in one offseason. There it is, guys. Volpe for All-Star. He's up there with Mookie Betts. Go check the stats the first 2-3 weeks of the season. In the NL, it's Mookie Betts representing the National League at shortstop. In the AL right now, it's Anthony Volpe. And the Yankees got cute. Because the Yankees do stuff like that, right? Just like they get cute and say, oh, Clay Holmes, we're only going to put you out there for 10 pitches. And then Michael Tonkin, come on down. Are you crazy? There are 13-year-old kids listening to my show right now that would have never put Michael Tonkin in that situation the first day he landed where the team was. And then you look at Clay tonight, and that if you've also heard me, I've stopped disparaging Clay Holmes. We need that guy. He is our closer. He ain't Mariano Rivera, but he's pretty good. He hasn't blown the game. They need to trust him more. Put him in the eighth inning. I don't care. Get the job done, Clay. His mama call him Clay. I'ma call him Clay. Remington, back on the fan. My guy's in Manhattan. What you got, Rem?
Hey, Keith. Interesting. I've become totally infatuated with this Mason Miller. You know, the one with the golden arm.
Me too. He struck out the side to end the game against the Pirates last night. And I'm like, I was not familiar with his game. Now I'm looking for all of his clips. He's incredible.
That guy's got serious heat, man. I mean, 103-plus.
But it's easy for him to throw 103.
He's not even sweating. It's like he's, you know, having a toss with the ball in the backyard. It's crazy.
Yeah, man. The Oakland A's, I don't know what their plan is, if they plan on keeping him till they materialize in Las Vegas. If not, Brian Cashman.
We have a golden ship on the farm right now named Spencer Jones. I think it would be perfect.
I don't think this team as currently constructed is a closer away from being a World Series team, but maybe when we get to pencils down, as Brian Cashman talks about on July 30th, and Dominguez is back, and I don't know, Judge just magically turns back into the Judge that we all know and love, maybe we feel like...
Toe. I think it's his toe with Judge. His mechanics are all out of whack.
I'm done talking about it because people love Judge so much you can't speak against him. If I speak against Judge, I'm getting messages or tweets. People are questioning my Yankee fandom. I'm questioning theirs because I'm like, you guys question Jeets. You guys question everybody else. You can't question Aaron Judge right now, making $40 million as the captain with his Jordan brand deal. He's got Jordan wristband, arm sleeve, Jordan gloves, Jordan arm protector, Jordan shin protector, specialized Air Jordan 1s.
That's true. Yeah, I don't think he needs any more support, certainly financially, but I think I just don't understand. You know, you don't want to boo the guy. I understand why they're booing him.
Boo his ass. I'm not booing him. I don't boo the Yankees. I've never booed a Yankee player. I've been to hundreds of games. I've never booed a Yankee player. But I understand Yankee fans that are like, bro, I don't care. Golden sombrero, boo. I was there. I was at John Sterling's day when they booed him, and I didn't flinch.
Keith, when are you going to sign your 7-figure contract with Sirius Radio? I'm sick of these commercials.
I don't think it works like that.
You're too valuable. I'd rather hear you than some commercial.
Shout out to Sirius XM. I never listen to Sirius XM. I have it like built into my car, but I got to sign up. Is Sirius XM big like that? Do they sign people to 7-figure deals? I have no idea. I'd never listen. I know Mad Dog's over
Howard
there.
Howard Stern.
I saw a clip of Howard Stern interviewing Joe Biden. I'm like, what? I have no idea. I'm out of the loop.
Stern's making $100 million a year.
Good grief. Who's the parent company of Sirius? How do they have this much money?
I actually own the stock like a schmuck. I don't know why. I should sell it tomorrow. But if they hire you, I'll buy more shares. How's that, Keith?
I don't know. I feel like if I went to Sirius XM, I'd disappear. I feel like I'm on the fan.
No way. Keith. You're too good. Keith, you're too good. You're too good for this station, believe me.
No, I feel like...
you put everybody to shame on this station.
Oh, well.
And you do have integrity. Lou from Astoria is right. you have what's called integrity and character.
I just keep it a buck. I just keep it real with everybody. I'm authentic. Like, I just don't care about faking. I don't come in here trying to be something I'm not. I watch the games like you guys watch. I go to the games like you guys go to the games. I happened to be on WFAN, but I didn't know I was going to be on WFAN 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. So I'm not changing because I'm on. But what I'm saying is, WFAN, this is New York. So many people get that FM dial, and so many more people get the Odyssey app. How many people are just stumbling upon Sirius XM radio shows? I guess it's national. So I don't know. I don't. I'm not that deep.
Talk
in the
to Howard.
World
Howard
to
would
know.
Love to. You should be on the show. Do the Howard Stern show.
If he'll have me, I'll pull
you want,
up.
If
he'll
he'd
have
love
me,
to have
I'm
you.
Sure. I've never been in the Sirius XM building. I don't know anything about it. And I'm not looking to leave. Thanks for the call, Rem. I'm not looking to go anywhere. We're like a month into the Yankee season. We're in the first round of the NBA playoffs. I can't wait till we start to get to mini camp. I think I just saw like the Jets and the Giants will have their rookie camp soon. I can't wait till football starts. You guys know I love talking football. And no, I don't know. I look at this as like obviously a dream. I have a WFAN keychain that I've had on my keys since 2014 when I met Mark Melusis. And to me, that was cool because I had just never met anybody that had been on the radio. I just never met anybody in person. And like, I went to school for radio. So to me, that's cool. Like, to see somebody in the flesh that I've heard on air that I admire. And then fast forward all these years, took 11 years from graduation to get on the radio. I do my thing, bro. And I'm not worried about everybody else. And I'm not worried about other stations. I, similar to Daniel Jones, am just trying to control what I can control. But man, I appreciate the compliments. I feel like every night it doesn't go an hour without somebody calling to compliment my style or my approach or what I do. And good, man. It could be worse, right? There are other hosts that you much rather not hear for 4 or 5 hours on the Fan. I won't name names. Keith McPherson on the Fan. That's my name. That's the only name that matters right now. I'm on till 2 a.m. We're talking about the Mets game. I really think the more I'm watching this, I know the game, the Mets could have won the game. It was a one-run game. It shouldn't have come down to that at the end, but I still think they got jobbed a bit. I still think that they have an argument, and you know, I understand Mendy. The Yankees, good. Get off the mat. Don't get punked. Don't lose the series. Don't lose 3 in a row. You were 5-5 in your last 10. Boop, okay, now you got one. And you finally get to 20 wins behind 2 young guys, Luis Gil and Oswaldo Cabrera. They don't make close to what some of these older veteran big-time guys make on this team that aren't doing what they're supposed to do enough. And yeah, we'll get back to the conversation around the Knicks because, like I said, but by the time my show ends tonight, it's Thursday. It's game 6. And I know it's not do or die, but you need to act like it because you really don't want to force a game 7. Anything can happen in game 7. You want your guys to go down there in Philly and end it in front of their fans. 87-7, 33-7, 66-66. Let's play some other sounds and voices and ads and things, and I'll be right back. Check it out now. Check it out now. Yeah, I told Connor to play this, not for the Yankees, even though the Yankees are coming back to Yankee Stadium Friday. I might have to pull up Friday if I can. I'm definitely going Sunday, weather permitting. I got to see if one of the homies can get me the Gerrit Cole bobblehead Saturday. I can't go Saturday because I'm doing the show Friday night till 2 a.m. And then the traffic getting out of the city, good luck with that. Probably don't get home till 3 a.m. Probably don't go to sleep till 4 a.m. And there's no way I'm getting up at 8, 9 a.m. and driving back to the Bronx. So I played the Shook ones because all these Knicks fans are turning into Shook ones. They scared to death and scared to look. They shook. Ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. What happened to Knicks in 5? We want Boston FMB. What happened, y'all? What happened to dudes, dogs, and damage? What happened to we're grittier than them, we hustle more than them, we're better conditioned than them, we're tougher than them? This is New York, right? I don't know. Figure it out. Figure it out. Your thoughts become things. If you go into this game tomorrow night scared, worried, first off, you got a long time. That's a 9:30 start. They're going to make you wait all day. If you're shook, if you're not confident, if you're scared, it's going to be a long-ass Thursday for you. That's a 9 p.m. game. They don't start these games on time. And also, it's a TNT game, so the Bucks-Pacers game has to be done, cleared, post-game, all of that. Like, what happened to the whole, you know, the Knicks are winning the championship? What happened to the Knicks are going to the finals? The Knicks can beat anybody. They can get to the Eastern. I don't know what happened to y'all, man. Zig is in Trenton on the fan. Go for it, Zig.
What's happening, Keith? Before I get to the Knicks, I address the Yanks first. Because as a Knicks fan, I'm not scared, but I'll get to that. But first the Yanks. Holmes looked awesome tonight. If he can do this, you know, we'll be all right in the bullpen. Hopefully we get a couple more guys. Hopefully Kingsley comes back for the bullpen. But he looked awesome. And then Cabrera, me and my buddies, we call him the Swiss Army Knife. Kid has been playing.
That's what they said DJ was. He's been replaced. Go on.
Yep, exactly. He's got his opportunity. He's made the most of it. So, you know, we got to stick with him. I know somebody was calling before, you know, LeMahieu coming back. No, you got to let Cabrera cook. He's been doing it all month. So you got to let him. He earned it, so he deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I said DJ, we're in May now. I don't think DJ comes back until June. I think June is when we start to hear things about Clay Holmes is just on my mind. I saw Talking Yanks just posted Brandon Hyde in the post game is in awe of Clay Holmes. He's just the Orioles manager's going on and on about Clay Holmes' performance. June is when DJ, Garrett Cole, Jason Dominguez are on, like, watch to return.
Exactly. And as long as we're at right now, we'll be fine once we get them. But you know, that'll be Cashman's thing come trade deadline. Oh, you know, we're getting all those guys back. It's
hell
like
no.
A trade, so
hell
we won't
no.
do anything. I hope not, right?
Not if I get to be on this microphone.
I hope.
Brian Cashman, you better have a masterful trade deadline. You did nothing last year. You had stupid-ass trade deadlines all the years before. If this is supposed to be an all-in 1 year, and oh, yeah, we're going to enjoy Juan Soto while he's here, you better stack the deck.
Exactly. So, yeah, keep being the voice of us. We appreciate it.
I got you. What about the Knicks, though?
So, let me get to the Knicks. As I don't know why these Knicks fans are scared. We've played well in Philly all year. We messed up in the last couple minutes. It happens. It happens. An eye for an eye after game two, you know, it is what it is. But to think we're scared, if anybody's scared, I think it's the Sixers.
They
their
should
owner,
be.
Their
They're
owner's
a wounded
lying.
Animal on their last leg. It took a desperation travel four-point play.
Yep. A literally last leg for Embiid. Who knows how he'll be in game six. But for their owner to buy 10% of the tickets to try and prevent us Knicks fans from going, if that doesn't say anything, I don't know what is. They can say, you know, they're making the 9 p.m. start, so, you know, we can't get the Amtrak train back to New York. Whatever. The start time is the start time.
I hadn't heard that yet.
it could be 3 a.m.
There's a bus. I've taken that bus from Philly. Yeah, there's plenty of buses. You can get on that Peter Pan bus.
If we can spend
you can get on that mega bus.
If we can spend $500 to go to the Garden, we can spend $100 to take an Uber back from Philadelphia.
Right. If you're buying the ticket, somebody will drive or you'll Uber.
Exactly. So there's no reason to be scared.
The bus is like $30.
And to think
of it. I hate that I know that because I've done that to go see the Yankees play at Citizens Bank Park.
And we are the Villanova Knicks, so you think they'd be comfortable in their arena that they grew up playing in. As a Knicks fan, I'm confident. And you know what? We do lose. We got Game 7 at home. But you can't think about that. Go get it tomorrow. Don't worry about Game 7. Just go get it tomorrow. Thanks, Keith. Have a good one.
You got it. You're going to zig. I'm going to zag. I know you guys aren't really scared. But man, even I'm in the Bleacher Creatures chat. Shout out to the Bleacher Creatures. There's this image floating around. I showed it to Connor, who's producing my show tonight. I don't know if you guys watch Rick and Morty, but it's got Morty laying in bed staring at the ceiling just scared. And then there's the screenshot of tomorrow, 9 p.m., Knicks versus Sixers, playoffs round one, game six, NYK leads 3-2. Are you guys losing sleep over this tonight? Well, stay up and listen to the fan. Call me up, man. If you're scared, call me up. If you're not scared, call me up. But, man, all I heard today was Knicks fans crying, rehashing, placing the blame, backpedaling, and changing their tune from the Knicks fans that were Knicks in five, we want Boston, we can go to the finals, we can go to the Eastern Conference Finals, FMB. Mario, my guy, always on
What's
the fan.
What's going on, my man?
You know, talking.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. Listen, the other day, I know yesterday, before I have a point about the Knicks, before that, the other day you were talking about, you know, I think Evan was talking about something that was on a tweet from you from years ago, and you found out about it. Just clarify something, which I understandably so. So the other day he was on, and he was talking about all the different show host guys, and he was talking about who they like and stuff like that. And then he said something about you. He said, Keith can rag on the Mets like he always does or something like that. And I said to myself, you're the one guy that, even if you're a fan of somebody, you're the fairest guy out of everybody on the radio. You've been that way. You prove it when you talk about the Knicks and that. If anything, he's the one who's biased against the Knicks and the teams that he doesn't like. So I was a little taken aback by that.
Yeah, I don't mind. I've kind of gotten labeled as like a Mets troll, or that I rag on the Mets or I hate the Mets.
But you don't. You're fair, though. Keith,
well,
you
listen.
Know how you are.
Clearly, you listen every day. Clearly, there was nothing to rag on the Mets tonight. I was in here watching the end of the game, and I thought that was BS. I'm like, I'm thinking I'm going to get on the air with a potential Mets walk-off win after Martinez hit that ball that Pete Crow Armstrong, whatever his name, whatever. I don't care if I'm labeled that way. What I do is play the game. It's so easy. Like, to troll the Mets fans when they start off 0-5, easy money. To troll the Mets when they sign Luis Severino and Harrison Bader, too easy. Layups. And it's entertainment. It's radio. And I also am a social media guy. Before I did radio, I was a social media manager. I play the game. I have memes and GIFs and things to laugh at and get a rise out of people. It's fun. It's all wrestling. It's all WWE.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing about that, and then I'll get to my Nick point, was that, you know, he was saying that, funny, I got on and I was saying, did you see that Embiid flagrant one that he got hit and hit Brunson in the face? Did you see that play?
Yes.
So I was saying, he was saying that, oh, he was going for the ball. There's no way he was going for the ball.
No, Embiid.
He wasn't going for the ball.
I'm so tired of Embiid.
But do you agree? Like, did you see the play? Do you
yes.
think he's going for the ball?
Embiid should have been ejected. Embiid
yes,
went Mortal Kombat.
Man.
Embiid was trying to MMA his way through the games because he's on one leg. He's weak. That's why I say they are a wounded animal. They are backed into a corner. You got Tyrese Maxey's game of his life. Is he going to be able to do that again tomorrow night? I doubt it. Are they going to have a game plan to stop him? I anticipate at least some type of defensive scheme thrown at him. It's going to have to be a Joel 50-point game, and I don't know if he can do that. I see Mitchell Robinson's questionable, but you know he's going to play. And, yeah, I'm tired of Embiid. I hope you guys put them away.
Yeah, but my real quick point is that when I got on the phone and I said, come on, that was flagrant foul. It was a flagrant. He did it on purpose. And I said, Tiki, I agree with how you feel. What do you think? He said it was intentional. Then I hung up, and they were arguing with each other about it. One was saying that Tiki was saying it was intentional, and Evan was saying it wasn't. So it was kind of funny that I brought it up, and he ran with it. But real quick about the Knicks.
I haven't listened to the afternoon show as much.
But I got your back, because you're fair.
I appreciate y'all doing that, too. And people hit me on Twitter. Shout out to my boy Dre, who alerted me that they were reading my old tweets from 2015 and 16.
Yo, but if they don't know who you are, then they think that you're not objective. You know,
yeah,
that's
I don't
not
think
right.
that they're up right now. I don't think that they're awake listening to my show till 2 in the morning, and that's fine. I don't care. I don't
But real quick about the Knicks, do you know that the teams that are up 3-2, their percentage to win is 83% win.
Yeah, because they just got 500. It's been a close series. Every game has been close. There's been no blowouts.
they have to win one game before the Sixers win two. I would put my money on the Knicks to find out how to win one game before hobbled and beat.
One thing they got to do real quick, and I'll listen to you, and I'll let you go. Thanks for taking my call, is that DiVincenzo is 3-for-17 for threes the last three games. He's got to come out of that slump. They need that second scorer. I think he's the man. Nice talking to my friend.
Indeed. Delaware Jordan. Did he grow up a Sixers fan? No, I think he grew up a Bucks fan. DiVincenzo's dad was a Bucks fan, and he ended up getting drafted by the Bucks. DiVincenzo has to be the Robin to Brunson's Batman. I was saying that the other night. Without Julius Randle, who's shooting the ball? You know Julius will chuck up a bunch of threes. Some of them will hit. Some of them will break. But DiVincenzo, he can't play defense. They got to take him out of the game. He goes quiet. He's had single-digit performances. Like, he's had games this season where didn't he set the single-game record for threes? He had some 25, 30-point performances. You need him now. You need him now. And now let's talk Mets. So... for anyone out there that thinks I just troll the Mets, I don't. But I'm honest with you guys. I didn't grow up watching SNY. I didn't grow up watching the orange and blue. I don't get jiggy with that. I was born and raised in the Yankee culture, watching Yankeeography and Yes Network. And when I got old enough to pay for tickets and go to games, I just found my way in 203 where the culture is Mets fans suck, the Mets suck. I'm sorry. I didn't come up with it. I didn't create New York City and fandom and the way it is. But when I came into the fan, I said, okay, now I got to watch these Mets games. Like, watching these Mets games, these are my Mets. I dubbed them the Make It Happen Mets in 2022. They were the Let It Happen Mets in 2023. Losers let it happen. Winners make it happen. I've been watching these Mets games this year. It was a laughable start to the year. But if you go back to what I said in the offseason, I said the Mets and Yankees aren't that far apart. And if I had to pick an over and under, I wouldn't move them but maybe 10 wins apart. If I had to guess, the Yankees win 95 games and the Mets win 85 games. And now as I look at both of these offenses, I'm like, man, they're similar. They're paying guys and they're dependent on guys that aren't coming through. And some of the guys that you least expected are getting it done. Let's talk Mets with some of the Mets fans. I will troll when it's time to troll. When the Subway Series comes, I got jokes. I could do that all day. But we're talking baseball. I'm a baseball fan. I could talk to you about whatever baseball team and what it just happens to be a rival team, a crosstown rival here. But like sometimes it's called for, sometimes it's not. I know if I always have an angle of trolling the Met fan, no Met fan is gonna call up to talk about, hey, what's up with that catcher's rule at the end of the game? Did you see Pete Alonso? What did you think about Shota Imanaga? How about Nimmo having a day off and Lindor leaving the game early, and now we're dependent on Joey Wendell. And let's talk Mets. Eric's in Manorville. Let's go to Eric on the fan. Eric, you fell asleep? All right. I think I heard him in the background. It sounded like you said, "I fell asleep while I was on the phone." Let's see if Neil in Brooklyn wants to help us out. What's up, Neil?
How's it going, Keith? How are you, man?
Good, great. Happy to be here.
Listen, I don't mind the previous caller. I almost fell asleep tonight during that Met game because this offense is shambles, man. I can't. This is a boring team to watch.
The Yankees be like that too. That's what I'm saying.
I think this Met team is we're trying to find our identity, but this is a boring Met team, and it just looks old.
But you just got JD Martinez. You just got JD Martinez. That doesn't do anything for you?
You know what? I think the Alvarez loss was a huge, huge loss. It took a lot of life.
That's my favorite Met, El Troll. I said Francisco Alvarez is the guy.
He's the heart. I really think that he brings the energy, and he brings the vibe, and he brings a little swagger to the team that we haven't had.
Yeah.
And it really, really sucks that he's not in there right now, but my whole point of calling was that I really think that we have an opportunity right now. Like if I'm Stern, I'm selling right now, man. A lot of these guys are on one-year deals.
Wait, we're talking about trade deadline May 1st?
I'm talking about trade deadline April 30th, man. I'm selling Severino right now. I'm selling some of these guys in the bullpen. I think the Mets have a really good opportunity in the next couple of years to have to get really, really young and really good.
The Nationals are 500 as well.
The Mets aren't going anywhere. I mean, listen, I'm a diehard fan.
But Senga's coming back.
Oh, dude, I need a bat, man. I need a bat.
This is a boring team to watch.
They got too many bats. They don't know who to play. They got to rest guys. They set Mark Vientos back down.
They just have no athleticism. It's just a tough watch right now, man. It's tough to make it through nine innings. I'm not going to lie. Even though, you know, I don't blame that.
Luis Severino, you didn't enjoy his perfect game bit, his no-hit
bit? He's been
good.
No, he's been good. I'm talking about the offense, really. I'm talking about the offense.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I watched both games at the same time. I've been listening to Keith Radd and Howie Rose call the game. And, man, there's just too many three up, three down. There's too many strikeouts. Leaving runners on base. If somebody does actually slap a single or an error happens, it's like the rest of the guys can't pass the baton.
The at-bats are such ugly at-bats. Jeff McNeil, man, get me Luis Angel right now. I'm telling you,
And I've heard a bunch of guys talk about Jeff McNeil. If Jeff McNeil is going to be a 250 hitter in the I don't know. Jeff McNeil's got to be a 300 hitter. He's got to be a batting champ. He got paid. To be
because
that.
He doesn't do anything on the defensive. He doesn't make the good plays up the middle. He doesn't really have great range. He doesn't have power. What is he doing, this guy? What's he there for?
Pop out, ground out.
On the first pitch.
Take a pitch, Jeff. I mean, see a couple.
You know, at least take a pitch. Exactly. At least work a count once in a while. I don't know, man.
Tough at bat. So the at bat quality isn't good enough for you. They're not athletic enough. The guys that you're depending on in the middle of the order, Alonso, Martinez, Lindor. Lindor batting under 200 is it's got to change this month. It's about to get warm. He's got to come through. I know he's had his moments in Dodger Stadium and out west against the Giants as well. But, yeah, it's not good enough, man. Highest payroll, got to be better.
I'll leave you off with this, Keith. I think that guys like Nimmo and McNeil have really changed their approach in the past couple of years. They went from these guys working counts, slapping the ball the other way, getting on base. And now I don't want to see Nimmo hit 20 home runs. I don't want to see that. I want to see Nimmo. I don't want to see him batting 202 with 20 home runs. I want to see him batting, you know.
Not as your leadoff hitter,
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Dad, he hit a couple home runs. He ran into a couple these last couple years, and now he's trying to be, I don't know. He's trying to be Babe Ruth out there, but he's Brandon Nimmo.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Neil. Okay, Eric is back. I put Eric on hold, and then he hung up and he came back. I was about to say, Eric, I wasn't hanging up on you. I don't hang up on anybody. I come in here with the intention of talking to you guys. I don't have a co-host. This is not the middle of the day where we got to get to breaks and ad reads and giveaways. Eric is in Manorville. What's up, Eric? You're back.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for having me back.
You fell asleep?
On.
You all right? Awesome. I know it's getting late, close to 12.
I was just actually bowling. I listened to you on the way home from bowling, and I call in, and I was like, I just dozed off. Sorry, man.
I understand. I would be sleeping right now, too. There's nobody I'd stay up to listen to.
I was sitting in my chair, and I just closed my eyes. My son comes out. He's like, hey, Keith, he's just finally hung up on you. And then he tells me there was nobody left on the bench that they could have pinch ran for, because that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
I was like, why aren't the Mets coach, another coaching no bueno? Why aren't the Mets? But now my son's
good
like,
point.
They blasted the whole bench away.
Right, because someone called and said that they should be pinch running for Alonso. And I immediately said no. What if you tie the game, go to extras, and you end up needing Alonso in the 10th, 11th inning? But, right, the way that it was set up, Lindor leaves the game. He's not available. Wendell comes off the bench. They pinch hit Nimmo. They pinch hit DJ Stewart. Who are you going to put in there? Backup catcher? No, Narvaez was in the game too. Yeah, like you said, there was nobody there.
Yeah. Yo, what's going on, Keith? It's Eric's son, Matt. So I'm a huge Mets fan. I was watching the game. But I don't know. I understand he really wasn't blocking the plate all that much, but the rule is, like, super ambiguous. I mean, he had his foot across the whole plate.
Blocking the plate? He's blocking the plate. Like, he was blocking 70% of it.
Yeah. He was blocking
a lot. He was standing in the middle of the plate. And then when he came down with his shin guard, he was blocking the entrance to putting your hand or foot on the plate.
Yeah. So they showed a replay of a Jonah Heim one from last year where he was like
with the Rangers, right? I mentioned
like
that.
25% of the plate, and they reviewed it, and then they called it a violation. So I was like, oh man, that's unbelievable. They got hosed. I guess somebody just
that's exactly
dropped the ball
what I had in my mind. I remember it last year, and if that, I don't know if that can happen, why couldn't that happen tonight? Mendy definitely had a case. Alonso had a case, but again, yeah. Welcome to the show. These games, these umps can decide. Nope, we called it out on the field. It's not enough evidence to overturn. We're going back to the hotel game.
And the replay center, there's like 10 guys looking at like two different monitors, and they can't get a rush.
No, because when they start deliberating, they start thinking. They're like, all right, so what if we overturn this, and then what if this turns into Manfred's man on second, and now we got to play 10, 11 innings, and the Mets already emptied their bench, and we got to be right back here tomorrow. And they decided, all right, whatever. The Mets, we set up the rubber match for the Mets tomorrow. The Mets lose.
Yeah. I mean, on bias, if they decided there wasn't any violation, then his hand did bounce up. Like, he was definitely out on the tag, I think. You know, there wasn't enough to overturn that he got his hand in there. But
yeah.
The only way it would have been was violation, I think. But, yeah, they got to start hitting. They're not hitting right now.
Right,
so.
Exactly. It shouldn't come down to desperation, bottom yeah. of the ninth, down to your last out, and leaving yeah. it up for interpretation.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, yeah. Eric. You guys get some yeah. rest. 877-337-6666. So, yeah, tomorrow, which we are 4 minutes away from, we have a 1:10 p.m. rubber match between the Cubs and the Mets in Citi Field. Then we also have a rubber match in a four-game set with the Yankees. Similar, the Yankees have lost two and are looking to split the series at 105, and then we wait. I'll be on at 7, and I'll try and get you guys pumped up and ready to go. We'll try and get some intel from the guys from the afternoon being down there in Philly, and we'll watch the Knicks game together, and hopefully that's the last game of the series. So let's take a break right here. The number to dial is 877-337-6666. We're going to get back to the Yankees conversation. I'm going to sprinkle a couple things in for my Yankee fans. It's wide open for the Mets fans to talk about. You just heard me talk Mets. Like, my angle is not to troll the Mets fan. My angle is to talk sports, but sometimes it's funny and it's easy to do. So we'll still take your calls on the Mets, of course, and that game. And then we're going to talk Knicks. And I do want to talk to some people about the Giants and Malik Nabers and Daniel Jones, and we can do that. Two more hours. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll say good morning on the other side. We'll be right back.